to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right. This is his first test.
Then one iron club crow sends the first guard to
try my new electro stun ray.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Hello. Hello. We are back on the air for 2018 with a new volume of the What Are You Reading comic book show. I am the guy that, the man, the myth, the legend they call the Surfer. And for this first show, I think it's, you know, I wanted to do this kind of last year, but you know, time ran out. Do a little Star Wars The Last Jedi spoiler talk, which we can do in a few minutes if you want to call in and get in on that action. And you can do so on Skype at Silver Surfer _ Forever. And this is what, as I said again, the What Are You Reading comic book show here on Rant EM Radio. It is 2018. This is the first show of the year, so this is issue 1, volume 11 or 12. It's been so long I lose count. Anyway, of course, we're broadcasting live on TuneIn and Stitcher, and of course in the Rant EM Radio chat room you can go to if you want to comment while you're in it, while you're listening to the show, or you can listen later on iTunes or Podbean. And I hope everybody's holiday was enjoyable, safe, or at least not tragic. Nothing bad happened since the last time I came on the air or spoke to you. Let's see, what's the box office? There's only one movie, of course, and it's Star Wars, and it was number one for 3 weeks in a row since it came out, but now it finally dropped down to number 3 on the box office chart with $23 million after 4 weeks. Its domestic total is $572 million. It is the number one movie domestically for 2017, and it's moving up the international chart as we speak. Well, no, hold on. Yeah, okay, wait. All right, so as far as worldwide gross of films, it's third with $1,205 million. It is slowly catching up to Fate of the Furious, which is number 2, and Beauty and the Beast, which is the number 1 worldwide movie of 2017. So give it another week or two, and it should surpass those two to be the biggest movie of the year, which would be the third year in a row a Star Wars movie was the biggest movie of the year, at least domestically. It is the third year in a row that a Star Wars movie is the biggest movie of the year. Anybody who disliked that won't have to worry about next year because, you know, Solo's coming out in May. And it probably won't do the numbers, but you never know. So anyway, getting back to Star Wars, I'm going to go over some spoiler talk with The Last Jedi, and my opinion on it. And if you have your opinion, you want to call in on Skype, as I said, it's Silver Surfer _ Forever. I'll take your calls till about 6 o'clock. And then if I run out of things to say before 6 o'clock or nobody calls in, I'll go over some recent news and then I'll go on about my business and let you about your business. So this is volume 8 of the Star Wars trilogy of the Skywalker anthology, I guess you want to call it that. People thought they were going to get answers to the questions that was given to them in Force Awakens. And in the 2 years time between the two movies, a lot of people thought they knew the answers they was going to get for Force Awakens in Last Jedi. A lot of people speculated that because Force Awakens was such a retelling of New Hope and Phantom Menace, and I've always said Phantom Menace and New Hope is the same story too, that they thought that Last Jedi would just be another retelling of Empire Strikes Back. And I have on here the one of the masters of Star Wars on the line, Mr. Phil Rayer.
I wouldn't say all that, but how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Well, I just started to talk about, Last Jedi. How was your holiday?
It was great, man. Just keeping it quiet, local. You know, how was yours?
Well, I made it to 2018, you know. No, I didn't get no cold, but I didn't get no gifts, and Krampus didn't bother me this year, so.
Well, that's good. So I missed your box office numbers. What, has it grossed over $1 billion yet?
Oh, yeah, it's at $1.2 billion. It's in third place worldwide for the year, and it's probably going to surpass Fate of Furious and the number one movie, which is Beauty and the Beast. We got Mr. Hightower on the line.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. What's up? All
right. I just started the Star Wars thing. Well, I was saying that, you know, a lot of people made their own speculations of the answers they was going to get between, you know, Force Awakens and this new one, Last Jedi. And it turned out they didn't get the answers they thought they should have gotten. And so this is a split movie as far as how people feel, whether they like it or dislike it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there saying this is the worst Star Wars movie ever. There's a petition going around to get this removed from canon. They just think it just ruined everything in their childhood. So what did y'all fellas think about this movie as far as initial like or dislike?
Well,
how time are you breaking up?
First, Phil.
Phil, you there?
I'm here.
So, what was your thoughts on it?
It wasn't a terrible film. I mean, I was expecting it to be a lot darker than it was, you know. And I've only gotten like in my inner circle, I've gotten like 3 or 4 like bad reviews. Like the people who complained about it, the 3 or 4 people who complained about it, all had the same feeling that they tried to shove, like, 5 pounds of crap into a 2-pound bag in terms of storyline. And I kind of thought that, Rian Johnson did a fair game of at least continuing the story and not really taking away from anything with that gap that was between the last movie and this movie. We know they had Rogue One and they had to do that in between. I don't know if it's, for me, I thought it was fantastic, you know, I don't think it was, you know, I wanted it to be as dark as Empire. It wasn't as dark as Empire, but it did tell a decent story, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, like I said, I've only gotten negative feedback from a few people, so, you know, but I thought it was good, man. I thought it was well done. Disney, again, putting their spin on the franchise, you know? Telling this story of the continuation of the Jedi. And I think it's, you know, I think it's important that Disney now has the Disney, I feel like, and maybe you'll agree with me, Surf, I feel like Disney has to put their stamp on it and not have it to be all the time a Lucas production where it's got the old remnants of the original franchise. Does that make sense, or am I just...
I think I understand what you're saying. And the thing is, you know, when you say Disney has to put their stamp on it, you know, as successful as Disney can be, that's also a negative to some people's minds because they think, oh, another thing being Disney-fied and softened up and sweetened for children. And it's funny how people complain when the newer movies come out about how, they're making it for the kids and not making it for me. But they forget there was a kid when they first got into it, too.
Yeah, and Abrams is a fan. Like, the guy, you could tell in his work that he's a legit fan of the franchise. So at least we're not pulling away from the original stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's still that feeling to it, well, man. I'm going, yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think this movie is the fork in the road to try to move on from the whole Skywalker storyline and take Star Wars into more directions than just following one bloodline. people complain that Force Awakens was just the same thing, and then now they're saying this is too much of a departure. And at some point, yeah, because the original cast we knew is old, and you know, we lost Carrie Fisher, so she was supposed to be a big part of the next movie, but can't now. And you know, we know what happened to Luke, and we know what happened to Han Solo. So it has to be set up for newer characters to take over, and them not necessarily be tied in to the Skywalker bloodline.
Yeah, or someone I'm sorry.
Someone before that, you know, because people were speculating like Rey might be related to Obi-Wan. And that was, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, a lot of people are more upset that their theories are how they thought this was going to play out didn't, and that's what they're disappointed about.
Yeah, another disappointment from the people that are like my wife and a couple of my friends, that they were disappointed that there was no backstory with Rey. Like, they wanted that backstory of Rey, where she was from, and how did she get to this point, and who are her parents. And I didn't think it was that much of a significant detail in terms of how she got there. Well, because she's in the mix already. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we don't know if what Kylo Ren told Rey is the truth or not. He could have just been lying to her to get her on his side.
No, I agree there. I didn't think it was that much of a deal breaker if I don't know where she's from. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they got enough new characters, with her included, to move on from the old regime. You know, like you said, with Skywalker and Leia and Solo and stuff like that. And they kept some of the remnants, like Chewbacca and 3PO and R2 and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. I don't know if it was a deal breaker for me. I mean, a couple of things I didn't like about the movie, but I wasn't gonna, you know, I suspended my disbelief enough to watched it twice just to make sure I wasn't like totally in denial because I go in now with zero expectations because of the way things are now with the internet and, you know, the Disney and, like you said before, and I feel like there was a lot going on, but it told a good story, you know?
The other thing, damn, I'm about to lose the thought I had about what's going on. It's slipping away. It'll come back to me in a second. Okay, I know what I want to say now. The whole thing about the Force itself, okay, one of the things they're going to move away from, and not that they're getting rid of those concepts, but the whole thing about the Force belonging to the Jedi or the Sith, because, you know, my theory is the whole thing about the Jedi, where they messed up, they thought that the force should only be used as, you know, a force of good. And, you know, when they wiped out the Sith, they made a mistake. That's what threw the force imbalance and been putting them in through this hell ever since. Rey in the end may be able to use the force, but may not be a Jedi, just like Kylo Ren isn't a Sith. And Snoke wasn't a Sith either, but they knew how to wield the force. And then you see at the end of the movie with the little kid, when he makes the broom come towards him, you know, the force will be there no matter what, whether this Jedi is Sith or not. There's always going to be people able to use the force. So people thinking that Rey shouldn't be able to use it that well because she wasn't Jedi trained, that's not what the force is about.
Yeah, the force is bigger than everything, you know, and that's the, and I think, again, that was Abrams telling everybody that. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's important. I have to agree with you. You know, just because you're inexperienced with a lightsaber doesn't necessarily mean that, or maybe you don't have all the midichlorians that Anakin had, that you can't be with one with the Force.
Well, how do we know Rey doesn't have as much or more than Anakin? Because they say Anakin didn't have a father.
Right. No. Yeah. Because it's still a mystery of Rey's origin. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't know. I'm just assuming, but I'm also accepting the purpose of the Force. You don't have to be a Jedi or a Sith to have the Force. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I think, again, that's Abrams being a fan of the franchise. I think that's these writers and directors now appreciating the extended universe that was all the Timothy Zahn books that came out in the 90s and the comics and the trades and you know, all the, you know, like everything that expanded with the universe of Star Wars is now being put to fruition by a younger generation of actors. I'm sorry, directors, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. What the other point I wanted to get to about the franchise? I should have wrote all this down. I meant to, but it's been a crazy day for me. At some point. Snoke. People was upset that we didn't get find out who Snoke was, like he was going to be revealed to be someone else, and it's like, no, he's just someone who probably just took over after the fall of the Emperor and started the New Order and kept things rolling on that side, and wasn't really someone you had to find out, oh, this is who he really is, this is really Jar Jar Binks getting his revenge. No, he who he was, and I guess people didn't like the way that ended with him, but he wasn't he's not the real villain in this. And you know, it comes down to Kylo Ren, and I like the fact that, you know, because Vader, you know, was redeemed at the last moment. There's no redeeming Kylo Ren at this point.
No,
and you know, even his own mother has come to this conclusion. He's just lost. There's no bringing him back. There's no reasoning with him. And he says to Rey in the movie, let's just, you know, let's burn the past down, which is what this movie's doing in a way. You know, forget the Empire and the Sith and the Jedi. We just, you know, but he still has that thought of controlling the galaxy with order and everything. So, I mean, if he really wanted to walk away from it, he would have walked away from the First Order. But instead, he took over the First Order, and he's determined to take out the rebellion. Because he thinks that once the rebellion is gone, well, it'll all be to what he thinks is normal.
And it keeps the story going. You know, mm-hmm. I think, you know, and a great point, though. And great point, by the way. Just the for nostalgia purposes, I think the fans were looking for, and older fans like us were looking, that would give negative feedback, were looking for that repetition or repeat of redemption that Vader had that Ren doesn't have currently, you know, if Ren found redemption, you wouldn't have a, you would have a decisive ending, and you're gonna dead the story, and then have to write a whole new other storyline where there's so much invested now in this storyline, you know. So I mean, you know, I wish the fans would, you know, and this is in between my son, who is constantly on YouTube and pulling up all these pages, these shows on YouTube with predictions and, you know, and all these, well, if this happened because this happened, and they base internet shows now on conspiracy theories of Star Wars. We think so and so is this because of this and this, and all these coincidences. You know, this has to be, well, that Snoke has to be a Sith, or, you know, Rey has to be related to somebody. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, I think the director and the producer want to put forth a good story to move it along, like Lucas did in the original three. You know, so I don't know, I feel like it's, you know, again, it's Disney putting their own spin on it. You know, a couple of things bothered me about it. You know, the whole Leia thing bothered me, and that bothered
her,
me.
Her using the Force?
That, and not dying when she should have died.
Well,
you know, I had a problem with it, you know?
All right, well, we don't know how much training she's received from Luke over the years before he up and disappeared, you know, and he probably didn't train her to, you know, be a Jedi too, but train her to be Force sensitive. So, you know, that was probably just instinct that made her, you know, fly back to the ship, because she probably wasn't in space that long. We're watching the movie, we think it's minutes, it was probably just seconds, and then, you know, instinct kicked in. And it wasn't like when she got back to the ship, she's like, okay, so this is what we're doing. They had to put her in, you know, sick bay till she healed.
Yeah. I mean, that bothered me.
I mean, you figure after Jedi, and Luke, you know, thinks he's going to bring back the Jedi Order. Well, who's the first person he's going to train? But the other person who has the Force, which is his sister. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like Kylo Ren was there to be trained, or the other people he found. So I didn't have a problem with that. And of course, no one knew that you know, Carrie Fisher would do what she had done to pass away last year.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, because we knew she was already dead. You know, people were saying, "Well, that should have been when they should have taken her out the story," but she wasn't dead in real life when they finished production. So,
I think she'll die of old age.
Well, they'll have to
in the next movie, which will be fine with me.
It depends on what they mention in the crawl, the next movie, because they'll say that she passed on. And
yeah, just do it that way. I mean, just let her die of old age in number 9. But can I say
go ahead.
What I thought about the movie? It was wonderful. Okay. It was good. I loved it. It's not about General Supreme Leader Snoke. It's not about Luke Skywalker. It's about Ben and Rey. It's about new characters, and that's what wasn't older fans asking for that the first time around.
Yeah, well, you know? I always thought, you know, like it was supposed to be you bring back the older characters so you could hand it off to newer ones, and then go from there. You know, to keep the Star Wars going. And I think they did. Yeah. And Luke will be back in episode 9 in his way, you know, if they do it right, you know, show up here.
I didn't like how they did Luke.
What, you mean the whole thing about him not wanting to be a part of it?
Yeah, that was just kind of the whole thing, like,
well,
it was his character in it, but I mean, that was my only really thing.
Until they explain, like, everything that happened with him trying to train Jedis and what we saw what he did with Kylo Ren to start all this, right? So we understand that. But, you know, like Obi-Wan before him, when Obi-Wan wasn't ready to train Anakin, and we saw what happened to Anakin, Luke probably wasn't ready to train new Jedis either. So we saw what happened with that. And that whole fear of if someone goes to the dark side, that can never happen, shouldn't be the thought of anybody who... I think the Force is like this. Jedi feel you should be selfless with it. Sith feel you should use it for personal gain. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
So, you know, if someone comes along and do both, what's the problem with that? There's not two forces out there. There's just one force. It's just a question of how you choose to use it.
I do kind of like how they kind of teased the Gray Jedi. I mean, everybody being gray.
Yo, they've talked about that in the cartoon, I believe.
Or in other words, dark.
No, like, you know, someone who, you know, kind of go both ways. The other thing about you saying about how you didn't like Luke. Well, the thing about Luke came to the realization, him not being there or Jedi's not being there, it's not going to stop the people from, you know, being one with the Force or being able to use it. The universe is going to go on whether he's there or not. And, you know, he thought he did enough to mess up, so he didn't want to have anything to do with it. Now, him cutting himself off from the Force, maybe he shouldn't have done that. But, you know, he just became an old man, just couldn't take it anymore. That happens to a lot of people.
And how you guys felt about Kylo Ren as the villain?
Well, I see him as... Look, I like him as a villain. He's not Vader. That's the thing. People was comparing him to Vader. And then they came him smashing his helmet after Snoke told him to take it off. You look ridiculous. Him come to the realization, right? I'm not going to be Vader, so I gotta be who I am.
I like him better now than I did in Force Awakens. And then, I think the maturity level of the character showed. You know what I'm saying? It progressed, and that was one of the best things they did. Because everybody's like, oh, when Force Awakens came out, oh, he's a pansy, he's a baby, he can't, he's always wrecking stuff, he's getting upset. And I was like, listen, man, the kid is putting the burden on his shoulders. You know, he wants to right wrongs that he think was done to him. He wants to run the show, but he can't let go of his past. Funny thing, though. You know, as nostalgia, people want to see the rep, you know, they want to see new characters, they want to, but no one wants to let go of these people. You know,
no one. You got to let them go.
I mean, if you, again, this is Disney once again putting their spin on it, and I have zero problems with this film at all. Hey. I mean, again, I had my, if you want me to nitpick, I didn't like the Leia thing. Another thing that came back to me was, well, I didn't like the, what's her face, Rose Tico. I thought Rose was awesome. I thought she was necessary. Captain Phasma, I'm a Boba Fett mark. I thought she was similar to Boba Fett in terms of they didn't get a lot of airtime.
Well,
you know, they could have progressed with that character.
You know, the whole thing about Boba Fett, it was like he came out as the toy, then he made the cartoon, and everybody thought he was going to just be this badass character who had like maybe six lines in two movies.
You know what? I think it's a rib towards us fans. I think they're going to continue doing that. And make a badass character.
But we don't know if Phasma's really going or not. I mean,
no, but I mean, just, I mean, the way it went down, me again, this is just me nitpicking. I loved the movie. I loved it so much. I watched it twice. You know, I'll probably watch it again before I buy it. You know what I'm saying?
I watched it twice too. I went to the fan screening in IMAX. For the 6 o'clock show on the day it opened, and then I finally saw a movie in the Dolby Theater for AMC, and I never knew what I was missing.
Yeah, the 7.1 is where it's at. The new theater where I live now, where I moved, We have, it's all luxury seats. It's a right. small theater. It's in, well, I'm in the middle of the suburbs. It's a small theater, but it's got the luxury seats in the 7.1 Dolby. You can't beat that, man.
And when you put your feet up, that's when the chair starts to shake with the sound.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like, you know, there, and like I even watched an hour and a half tirade of with Kevin Smith. Now, we all know how big of a fan Kevin Smith is of mm-hmm. Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I think Star Wars is the reason why he makes films, you know. And he tore it apart.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he tore it apart. Like
the video I saw, he kind of liked it.
No, I didn't. He didn't dislike it. He just tore, like, he, I shouldn't, maybe I used a bad choice of words, but he dissected it to the point where it almost, he almost made himself believe that it was, that it wasn't as good as he first expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, again, the more you put into the universe, the more you read, the more you watch, the more you, you know, cause I was a fan of the books, you know, cause when I was a kid, you have to understand something. When I was a kid, I mean, 83, that was it. You know, after 83, you were like, what happens? 83, I was 8 years old. You know, like, what happens now? And it didn't take until high school till I read all the Timothy Zahn books, and then the encyclopedias came out with all the droids and the ships. And this is before the interwebs, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then when the internet got big, it was all these conspiracy theories. And then when the prequels came out, it became almost like a slap in the face to the diehards, because, you know, no one really wanted prequels. No, everybody wanted the continuation.
I wanted both the prequels and the continuations, because, you know, there was always that rumor or story that there was 9 chapters, and we knew that Star Wars was chapter 4 of 9. And it would 5 and 6, and, you know, everybody was hoping, maybe had they came with the prequels sooner than they did, that maybe George Lucas wouldn't have been caught up with technology more than story.
Maybe. I just feel like the people that were around me wanted the continuation more than they wanted the prequels.
Yeah, I wanted both at some point.
Yeah.
One of the things I thought would have been cool is now that when they did the prequels, that Mark Hamill could have played Anakin as an older, you know, Jedi, but they decided to go with Anakin as a little child, so he could have never done that anyway. I want to get back to the thing about, I want to bring up porgs and how people are bitching about porgs because they say it's just to make toys. Well, as I had to write on Facebook, Star Wars has always been about pushing toys. The toys came out before the original movie did. And then the toys they were pushing back in the commercials, Greedo, Hammerhead, Snagglepuss, none of them got any time except Greedo. He got 2 minutes and he got shot. Hammerhead was on screen for like 5 seconds. Snagglepuss was on screen for 2 seconds. And they told you had to get all the toys.
So why is everybody complaining about some damn toys?
Well, that's the thing.
It don't make a difference. You know,
the same toys they wanted as little kids. And I watched grown people run out when the Star Wars toys hit at midnight and spend hundreds of dollars on without a thought.
I just feel like it's, the platform is bigger now, you know, the internet is and social media and YouTube is allowing fans to evolve with the product. You know, it's same thing with wrestling. You know, we're all wrestling fans, we do wrestling shows, you know. Nostalgia is still a part of the whole gimmick. Same thing with Star Wars, and you make the comparison even with the Marvel franchise and the DC universe too. There's just more of this negative approach towards bigger than life, you know, titles and franchises like Star Wars and stuff like that. When the Ewoks, you know, when they gave the Ewoks all that time, they gave the Ewoks the cartoon and the plush toys and the figures, and everybody was like, it wasn't really a big deal, you know. And the movie wasn't, I mean, the Jedi is, oh, that's another story, but you want to listen to that, the rant has the Jedi episode with me and Lou, but I feel like I don't have an issue with, again, bringing in new characters. I think Hightower said it before. Like, bringing in new characters, I don't have an issue with that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to tell me a story, and it's a new wrestling, and you guys, you know how I'm like a broken record now with this. If you tell me a good story, I don't care who gets implemented into it. Whether it's an animal, an android, an alien, I don't care. And you know, you're telling me a good story.
Also, I thought what Last Jedi did, it gave you, look, you might not have liked what the individual stories were, but at least we got to see more of Poe Dameron and what he's like. And you see he, you know, has a thing with authority. Okay, now you might don't have to agree with what happened with him and the whole thing with after Leia was laid up and the person that took over and how he was clashing heads with her. People didn't like the whole Finn and Rose part. They thought it was too prequel-y. And, you know, they didn't like the fact that they went on a mission to find somebody they didn't find and to bring somebody back that ultimately didn't do what they set out to do. But that's the thing about real life. Things don't always go the right way. And then Rey, well, you know, she didn't go and find Luke and get the, you know, the Yoda training like Luke got. She didn't. She basically was told go away for the most part. And Luke was just showing her, you know, why he thought this whole thing was just ridiculous and a joke on the universe. And
we started designing pop-up cards in our basement.
Sorry about that.
What did you think about right parents?
Make sure I get my check for that commercial. Thanks. what'd you say, Mr. Idaho?
What did you think about Ray Parent being nobodies?
Well, I if that's the case, I don't have a problem with that. It's not like someone only has to be born from someone with the Force in order to have the Force.
Yeah. I really loved how a lot of people out there was fucking mad. And I was hella happy because Darth Vader mom was a nobody. I mean, Anakin mom was a nobody.
Right. That's the thing. She wasn't nothing special, and he didn't have a pappy, according to her. And, you know, had Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon hadn't found him, he still would have been on Tatooine just repairing stuff and pod racing or whatever. And maybe he'd be dead, but he'd have been dead by now because of some scum of the universe shooting in the back of the head. Who knows?
People had a problem with that. Like, oh, I wanted her to be something from, you know, some type of Skywalker or some type of Obi-Wan.
But she had to said that, then people would have complained. Why did they have to tie it into that? Because, you know, of course, one of the speculations everybody had was that Kylo Ren and Rey are brothers and sisters. Because, you know, in some of the written stories, you know, there was twins born to Han Solo and Leia. And they thought maybe they used that in the movie. And
that was in the books, right?
Yeah. The books that I don't even think are canon anymore.
He is not canon, yeah.
So, and then in episode 9, we could find out, Kylo Ren lied to Rey. Maybe she is related to somebody. 7 did leave clues to make you think that, like, when Maz asked Solo, who's the girl? And he really didn't answer. He just looked at her. Like, he knew something. And then, like, near the end of the movie, after they came back from destroying the base, and her and Leia hugged, and they never met and didn't know each other. But thinking back now, I just assumed that they hugged because they're both force sensitive, and like just like they both felt when Luke passed away and moved on to the force. They both felt that, but they didn't have to. They weren't with each other, but they both felt it happen because they both are now tuned into the force. Any other thoughts from you gentlemen?
On that, no.
No, on anything. Just, you know, tell me your thoughts on the movie itself.
Again, I really tried to nitpick it on the second try. You know what I'm saying? But right. I couldn't. I mean, I had some... Yeah, I had the Phasma issue. I had the Leia issue. I thought the casino stuff was great. You know? I thought how they handled Skywalker was great. How he was conflicted. Like, all these things that were J.J. Abrams, man. Again, I can't get mad at that.
Now, you mentioned Kevin Smith, and he kind of thinks that Rian Johnson kind of told J.J. Fuck you by, you know, contradicting some of the things that J.J. planted in the first movie. And then it turned out it not to be the case or be opposite of what everybody thought it was going to go. Now, I doubt that. I mean, Abrams is still, like, overall in charge of what's going on, and I don't think he just let Rian Johnson just write a script and it didn't get approved by somebody and make a movie without it being approved. We see with the Star Wars franchise, if they don't like the direction you're doing, they will boot you out. Because
did they just give a Rian Johnson the
he's supposed to do his own trilogy.
His own trilogy.
Right. But we saw Lord and Miller, you know, they didn't like the direction they was doing with the Han Solo movie and told them you can go home and wait for your next project, because, you know, we're in charge here. I'm going to bring back the football analogy real quick. Y'all been hearing about how Belichick will be upset that Robert Kraft overruled him about Brady?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you write the checks and you own everything, you do get to say what you want from time to time, not just the person you pick to run it. But if you want to, you know, you tell him what to do, and if somebody don't like that, they can start their own franchise.
I don't think this, the franchise is going to lose any momentum at all.
Yeah.
There's so much nostalgia. There's so much history in the franchise that you could make 9 more. You know what I'm saying? You could make 9 more, 12 more movies, and it would still hold weight.
Here's what I think. They said when Disney bought Lucasfilms that we was going to get a Star Wars film every year. And at some point, somebody's going to say, no, that's not feasible. I don't think we got to go, like, the distance we went from the original trilogy to the prequels before we get new movies. But at some point, somebody's going to say, yeah, let's hold off for, a few years before we put out another movie. You know, get these people hungry for it, and then, you know, they'll come back. And they're always going to come back.
Yeah, even if you make the fans wait a couple of years, Disney's going to implement animated series like they've been doing with Rebels and the other one. You know, they apparently with the whole Fox merger, they're probably going to put the original trilogy out uncut and undone. You know, there's so many things you can do with it,
and it's going to be so many people snatch up that movie.
Yeah.
With the original effects.
Of course.
So
then Disney streaming services, you know, they're gonna throw a couple new shows on there.
Yeah, everybody's gonna have they'll probably give Poe his own series. They'll probably give
and it will be comic books.
Yeah, they
Snoke. We don't know who Snoke is.
Yeah, you might. Yeah, you might get a backstory. You might get more Sith. You know, you don't. Because there's so much that happened between Jedi and Force Awakens. You know, so, I mean, how did the Empire fall? What happened after the Empire fall? You mean the universe just stopped?
Yeah, because, no. I mean, we all assume.
Who is the First Order?
Once the second Death Star exploded and Emperor was dead, that, you know, the Republic would just, you know, the Empire would collapse and Republic would take over. But, you know, when you have an organization as big as the Empire was, there's people that want to hold on to their little corner of power they had by being a part of the Empire, and they're not going to just give up. So they kept the fight going until probably someone came along to say, all right, I got this.
Connie made soup. I don't know if you want any.
I don't.
She also made apple. So do you want the leftover turkey from yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a few pieces left.
Okay.
Got enough. Corn.
Got enough for everybody?
Stovetop stuffing?
I'll heat it up. Don't worry about it. Go eat.
I did already.
Oh, okay.
There's also apple pie. She just baked the pie.
All right. All right.
Y'all got enough for everybody?
Sorry, sir. I had to step away for a second. What was that?
I said, I got enough for everybody. I mean, we want to eat too, you know.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. My mic was off. I guess you guys heard me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, so, you know, we don't know. Yeah, at this point, we don't know how he learned how to control the Force. And how he was able to take over. He might have been, you know, he might have been like a right-hand man to the Emperor that we didn't know about. And just said, hey, I'm here. I'm taking over. And the Republic just wasn't strong enough to stop him. So he started something new and kept the engine going. And... like I said, we may find out how that happened. We may not. It's not a big deal that we didn't get some big reveal who he really was, other than that he was somebody who took over the Empire and turned it into the First Order, and was and you figure he had been around for a long time because, you know, Luke says, Snoke had gotten to Kylo Ren. And it was kind of too late, and he sensed it. Well, he had to have been there for a long time running things. It wasn't that somebody just showed up.
Probably one of Darth Vader buddies, you know? You never know who these people are.
I mean, yeah, listen.
He could have been trained by Vader himself, for all we know.
We're not going to please everybody. I mean, you can't please everybody, you know? I had this conversation last night with a bunch of friends. We were talking about, you know, planning a group outing, and I'll compare this to a group outing. Like, there's always going to be one or two people in the group that don't want to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, but you want them in the group. You want them part of the whole experience, but they're not going to go for what you're doing. So I feel the same way with Star Wars. I think there's people that are just not going to – they're going to hold on to nostalgia, and they're not going to want to let go of certain characters. Listen, these guys – first of all, even if Carrie Fisher didn't die, these people are in their 60s, pushing 70. Harrison Ford was already 70 years old. Like, you know, and he told them, like, you know, I'm not going to do another one unless you kill me off. You know? And that was the agreement, you know? I feel like fans just have, like I said before, way too much time to dissect what is going on. You know, there's no one suspending a disbelief enough to appreciate what's going on.
Well, this is the one franchise that, A, the expectation that every movie has to be the greatest ever. Like, it has to surpass the last one. It has to be the best movie of all time. And anything short of that disappoints people. And also, people think they have the truest handle on the whole franchise. And they, like, there isn't a fanatic out there who probably, if somebody came up from Disney and Lucasfilm and said, hey, we want you to run this franchise from now on, that they wouldn't think, yes, I can do this. I know how to steer this, right? and probably wouldn't know what the hell they doing. So you're never gonna please Star Wars fans at this point. There's some there's a good fan base that consumes and likes everything that has Star and War on it. And then there's another fan base who thinks that they know better than what they're getting on screen and so forth. So it's always gonna be that divide. And it's Jedi and Sith, basically. I talked to a few people that didn't like it. I talked to people that thought it was the best movie they ever saw. I'm personally kind of done trying to state whether this is the best film, and I just sat back and enjoyed it for what it was, and I'm gonna probably enjoy the next movie, and if I don't, then I don't. So
yeah, again, you have to, I don't know, I tried to explain this to my wife, and my friend didn't like it. I was like, you know, you have to, and I'm not gonna repeat myself, but I told them what I just told you guys, and I feel like, you know, you can't take away from the vision of the director. You know, you can't pull away from what they want to implement in the movie, because again, these guys are fans of the franchise. They want to do it justice. They want to respect the Lucas, you know, the legacy of the franchise.
Well, you brought up Lucas. He thought that Empire Strikes Back was being ruined by that director.
Yeah, it was the best one.
With the clips he was getting, he thought this man was just ruining his franchise. Because what he had in mind was different from what this other guy had in mind as a director. And it's always going to be like that. So.
Yeah.
We all know the Avengers is the greatest thing anyway. No, I'm just kidding.
No. they're gonna have some mishaps, so.
No, that'll be the movie this year that people are split over. So.
But yeah, that's good. That's, then you cover that base when you get there. With those franchises, there's so much more to it. There's so many more characters and so many plots and different storylines already written for these characters that you talk about every single week on your show. So I think, you know, that's just another animal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the whole X-Men thing, and I don't want to get into that. I'll just go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, I'm not a big X-Men fan, but I know for a fact that there are people that I know hated some of these movies that came out because they weren't true to the story.
Yep.
The characters weren't the same. The direction of the character, well, the people who played the characters, like, there's so much. There's so much to it that you get lost in a rabbit hole.
Of the 9 X-Men movies, 6 X-Men, 3 Wolverines, 2/3 of it is good. And 1/3 of it is not, and
that's your opinion.
And the ones I think are terrible. Okay, you look at X-Men Origin Wolverine. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's just a standard action movie that they kind of missed the boat on making a good superhero movie. If you look at X-Men 3, My problem with that was the pacing on that film was bad. You look how poorly paced and edited that movie is. When they start crossing the Golden Gate Bridge, it is full on daytime, and then by the time they cross it, it's in the middle of the night. And then Apocalypse, that just became a CGI color fest with no real story to it.
So, see, I thought First Class was my favorite. First Class is my favorite, and I'll ask 5 different people in the room, and they'll tell me I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I love First Class. I think Days of Future Past is the best. We don't have to argue about those two movies because we like them both. Well, at least I like them both.
Yeah, no, I think there's just more to those franchises. You know what I'm saying? If and if you're a fan of the story, of the characters and the stories, like, oh man, you know, even like with the what Netflix was doing, there's so many things going on that, you know, you there's so much to absorb as a fan, as a fanboy, as a fangirl. Like, we've all grown up with the books and we've read enough to decipher what we're gonna put into walking into a theater and seeing your favorite character on screen.
And I think Dark Phoenix is not going to be a good movie, but
I'm just
going over the fact that I don't think I've said this on my show plenty of times. I don't think you should do a Dark Phoenix story without setting her up first.
And you can't do that. You can't do that without. I don't even want to talk because I'm a big Phoenix fan. doesn't make no sense.
People, everybody has read the Dark Phoenix Saga comic book. You know, when it came out as a graphic novel, when they bought a graphic novel. They've never read the Phoenix stories from the time she got her powers leading up to that storyline. And, you know, you have to see her progression of how she could be corrupted, become Dark Phoenix. And she didn't just turn Dark Phoenix because it was some. Because of her powers, or because she had a split personality like they did in X-Men 3. But, you know, I could, like I said, I could be wrong. It just seemed like Fox, in this case, is trying to, you know, make money on something people love without putting the effort into setting it up properly. And Marvel wouldn't make that mistake. Yeah, they would get to a Dark Phoenix story, but not without setting it up first.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I wait till they come out, make the assessment.
Yeah, of course.
And then it's what it is, you know. I can't compare the Star Wars franchise to Marvel or DC. It's a totally different animal. And there's so much. Like I said, there's so much involved.
Right.
Like, and you become emotionally attached. Like, you know, I'm a Spider-Man guy, you know, so I'm emotionally attached to Spider-Man in the franchise. So I nitpick at that, and I'm like, I hated half of them. And I liked half of them, and I don't want to get into that rabbit hole, but like, I'm not totally disgruntled. Like, I don't walk out of there every couple of years going, man, that was terrible. You know, I'll pull something positive out of stuff I don't like only because I can respect and appreciate the vision of the person putting that movie together. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I like the last Fantastic Four movie that came out on my birthday, I think in 15, that was atrocious. And I really tried to put something positive on it, and I just couldn't. You know, and I didn't see it in the theater, and I'm glad I didn't. Yeah, I got a copy of it when it came out.
I saw it in the theater, and
right.
Listen,
and,
some people blame the director, some people blame the studio. It just seemed like they
was forced. I didn't like the characters. The writing sucked.
Well, they didn't really become superheroes in that movie. They got powers, and then most of them sat around into a room to the end, and then 2 minutes of trying to stop who the person who's supposed to be Dr. Doom, and then, all right, now we're the Fantastic Four. Well, no.
Yeah.
There was more action in the Roger Corman version. And I don't know if I would have blamed the director, because he's always said he tried to do something different and they wouldn't let him. But who knows?
Yeah, anyway. No one knows, really. You know, it becomes, you know, you have to turn yourself off from everything to walk into these places, to these theaters and watch these movies. Like, you know, you have to. Like, I can't, you know, people like, listen, we're all going to like, there'd be five of us in a room and watch and be in the same room with the movie, and we're all going to have a different opinion about it, you know? And that's what makes the world go round, obviously. I just don't know if you can all the time be negative towards every single aspect of these movies, of these franchises, there's always something positive in there, whether it be the ending of the movie, when they have the after the credits, your favorite character shows up, a certain actor or actress that does the characters. Like, there's always something positive to pull out of these things now, you know? Most of the time, anyway, I should say. I'm always, my glass is always half full when it comes to these things. You know, I try not to be negative, but.
Well, as fun and riveting as conversation is, I got to pay the bills around here and call tonight. You know how I pay the bills? It's by telling these gentlemen and you out there about the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio. Starting tomorrow night, the return of the Sports Report at 11:15. And with William Morgan, he should go over all the weekend's wild card games. One earlier day game was garbage. But, hey, I'm happy. Casey got knocked out, so makes it easier for my team to win. Tuesday, the return of the doubleheader. You get the Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m. And then the return of the Rant at 9 p.m. And Double A will probably tell you all the things he did over the Christmas break. Thursday's Rant and Wrestling. Friday, this man here, Phil Rayer. He brings the Dynamite show called Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. live. Him and Choppy. They learn you something. What you talking about this week?
Throwback has not been decided yet. So right now we're still getting over New Japan and all that other stuff. Yeah, we'll have a throwback for you. I think we're going to come over to throwback probably tonight or tomorrow.
So I've been slowly,
New Japan, number one.
I've been slowly catching some of the matches on YouTube, and I caught the Jericho match.
Yeah.
And did that live up to your expectations?
It was good. It wasn't over the top amazing, you know.
It was five stars.
It told a great story. You know, it did. And it was a fun, and like I told Choppy and I told Hightower this too, we all spoke about this. I think now the last couple of years, New Japan gives you a gleam of hope that wrestling's going to be good this year. I'm not saying it's going to, but because the matches are so good for, you know, Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash, it sets up that feeling that now I'm ready for the Rumble. Now I'm ready for WrestleMania, you know?
Right.
But yeah, it was a good card. We ran down the card. Choppy at that point had not seen it, so by the time we get to Friday's episode, you'll have seen it. And I'm sure all the other, and I know the Shining Wizards already talked about it twice already. Matter of fact, they did a special episode today, and they did the Omega Jericho match. They actually did commentary over it. Mm-hmm. Matt, Kevin, and Tony. So check that out.
This Saturday is the debut on this network of the Midnight Jury. That's at 8 p.m., right?
Yes, 8 p.m. live.
Live. And so who's on the Midnight Jury?
You got Mike Norenganger, Adam Henning, Cindy Chadwick, and Calvin Brody.
And are they just a live show or they're a live call-in show?
No, it's a live show. They're going to do like one live show, and they're mostly they're pre-recorded. They're pop culture. They do a bunch of 80s movies, 90s movies, and they do sometimes they do wrestling.
Oh, okay.
So they're mostly
movies.
Yeah. Yep. They're good kids, man. They're really different Philly. They really live in Philly, whatever. But
they're from Philly.
Yeah, they're based out of Philly. Their show is. I think they're from Jersey, but they're based out of Philly.
I gotta find these cats then. Anyway,
I'll be down. I'll be down by you in a couple of weeks, man. You better come out and see me before I go to NXT. I'll talk to you offline, you know, in a couple of weeks. But I'm gonna be down there with the boys. See,
I should have contacted you about when you were gonna buy your tickets, so I could have got one. But that's too late.
Right now, there's an extra one floating around. So if that person doesn't take it, you might want to jump on that. Get back to me. Get back to me off air. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
I'll let them know.
And I'm, of course, here every Sunday, 5 p.m., the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. And, of course, in the month of January, We got the Royal Rumble, and we got the special sports reports championship edition coming on championship weekend for football.
Should be laced with purple and gold. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But
so that's it. And gentlemen, thank y'all for calling in, and we're having this discussion about the Wars of Stars.
Thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
No problem. And Mr. Hightower, you know, when football season's over, you won't have any excuse. And about not calling in. But who won?
William Morgan had won the $50.
I can sit there and say it was fixed because he ran the league and he won too. This is some bullshit.
It wasn't. But
this is some bullshit. I'm out of here. I'll see y'all another time. Peace out.